Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Jobber Circle Wrestling Podcast. It's been a minute.
It has been a
minute.
It's been a minute
since we've done an episode. But we are back. If you follow our flagship podcast, The Cave-In Universe, you will find out very soon what's been going on and what's been accounted or, you know, what's caused a little hiatus.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, yes, we're back. We got a lot to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about, what are we talking about today?
WWE primarily, just because so much has been going on with WWE that I feel like it deserves its own, episode.
Yeah. Cause I mean, obviously Full Gear's next week. So
yeah. So we'll get to back to AEW next week. So
yeah, exactly.
Doesn't mean we've stopped watching AEW or anything.
Still. Oh no, we've been keeping up watching people. We've been watching. If you follow us on Twitter, that's when we live tweet, our reactions to, what's going on. So follow us on Twitter. Actually at Cave In Universe, but yeah. We need to utilize the at Jobber Circle.
We do.
Twitter, it's at Cave In Universe, but Instagram and TikTok and all that's gonna be at Jobber Circle. Go ahead and give it a follow there. Right now, how do you feel about Triple H's takeover? I mean that's the main thing. From the last time we did an episode, the main thing we can talk about is, you know, Vince stepping down.
Yeah, Vince is gone.
Coming from somebody who's watched wrestling my whole life,
I never thought you'd see the day.
Yeah, we all thought he was going to die in that chair.
Yeah.
So now it's, you know, I mean, you still got Nick Khan and Stephanie, you know, supposedly running the behind the business side of things.
Yeah.
And you got Triple H running the creative along with, you know, Shawn Michaels practically running the creative on NXT.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's one of the, you know, let's talk about that's one of the first changes is the changes to NXT. You took out the NXT 2.0 bullshit. So no more of that. They need to change the title still. There's still talks that Triple H apparently has some new title designs.
Hmm.
And they just changed the NXT titles to have that little fucking...
The splatter.
The colorful
the
bullshit.
The colorful, yeah, theme.
Yeah, so... So, of course, the NXT's changed. I mean, what are some other things that that Triple H has changed?
Well, I feel like everybody has a new commentary team.
Oh, yeah, the switch definitely the switched commentary. That up. Yeah, that's been different. Wade Barrett's on the main roster now, so that's pretty cool. Well,
yeah.
He's pretty much just replacing Pat McAfee.
I know. You think they'll take because doesn't Raw have three still, or is it just down to two?
I thought it was two.
Okay, well, it used to be three. So what if they bring Pat McAfee back, keep Wade Barrett, which I hope they do because he's a really good commentator, and just make SmackDown like a three person type
job?
They
could, because SmackDown is the, you know, at this point it is the better show.
Yeah.
Or they could just Booker T could just be taking his place in NXT right now. So, you know, whenever, you know, because Booker T doesn't really, you know, he's got a lot of other things going, you know, as far as his other roles in WWE. I'm pretty sure he's still doing his podcast. So maybe he's just filling Wade Barrett's role for now. And then Wade's just going to go back to NXT.
Yeah.
But I like your version better. But I don't know. See, that's the thing. We used to say like, oh, yeah, I like this idea better. But, you know, it's not going to happen because it's just not going to happen. But now there's actually a chance that
there is a
the
possibility.
Things that we want could happen. That's I guess you could say that's the biggest thing.
Yep.
Is Triple H knows more in 2022 what the, you know, WWE Universe wants.
Yep.
Rather than Vince did. I mean, let's just go through some of Vince's fall from grace. Like, what was he doing at the end? I mean, you had freaking... You know, name changes galore. I mean, that's the biggest thing in the past few years. You had Bearcat Lee. You had, like, him. Like, he ruined so many names.
Yeah.
The LA Knight was one that I guess that's the latest one. The name switch where immediately it's like, no, you know, let's just go back to what you were.
Right.
The returns. I mean, returns galore.
Yeah, people that Vince didn't believe in, that Triple H is now like, no, we got to get you back in here.
Yeah.
He made a mistake.
And we have some of these returns written down, but before we get into that, some kind of behind the scenes news, I guess it doesn't, you know, hasn't been announced yet. Oh, it's been announced behind the scenes, but not on the show. So the biggest things that like come from the pay-per-views is apparently Triple H is dropping TLC in Hell in a Cell. Which I freaking love, because at first it was cool when they first came out with the concept of, oh, it's going to be a yearly pay-per-view, TLC, Hell in a Cell is going to be yearly pay-per-view. It was kind of cool, but it got old super quick because, you know, that's, you know, let's face it, in the Attitude Era and before, that was the coolest thing when you had a feud going on and then Vince will come out or, you know, Mick Foley would come out and be like, we're going to, you know, you guys are going to fight in a Hell in a Cell. Like, and yeah. you were like, oh. Like,
it was a big deal back exactly. then when it was just sporadic like that.
Yeah. Me and my brother would be watching, you know, Raw or something, and they would announce a Hell in a Cell match, and we just look at each other like, oh, Hell in a Cell. Like, yeah. you know, the yearly thing ruined it, yeah. especially with TLC. It's like, there's, you know, Hell in a Cell, I guess, it's pretty good no matter who's in it. But TLC, like, I've always thought that since I was, like, a kid. Like, there's few people that can pull off a good match like that. You have to actually, like, know or be willing to do
yeah.
a lot in a TLC match that you normally wouldn't do, you know? Like, right. it just takes a certain kind of wrestler to pull off a good TLC match. And with TLC being a yearly pay-per-view, we've seen a lot of the TLC matches.
yeah, a lot of matches.
And then not only that, it's like, okay, of course, there has to be a chair, a TLC match itself. Then there has to be a ladder match, and there has to be a table match. So I guess we just do a, oh, Jesus, our cat's jumping in a box. So it's like, I guess we have to do a chairs match. And it's like, those were always, it's like the biggest dudes that couldn't be in a, you know, in a ladder match. It's like, let's just put them in the chairs match.
Right.
I remember one year they had tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs because they had a stairs match. It's like, no. So I'm glad. And then one pay-per-view that apparently he wants to bring back, which is good, is King of the Ring. You know, and I'm saying yes. pay-per-view, I forget. Premium live events, right?
Premium live event.
Yeah, they're not called pay-per-views, but, you know, I'm going to keep saying pay-per-views because it's been like that all my life.
Literally.
It's going to take me a little bit to get the old click in
it's
my brain.
It's easy to say PPV or, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Pay-per-view just seems like one word, not premium live event. Like, what is that?
PLV or PLE.
PLE.
Yeah. PLE. PLE.
Play.
The play. yeah. So he wants to bring back the King of the Ring play. And the coolest thing, because they, you know, they brought back King of the Ring before in the past few years, but it's never had the same, you know, effect that it did in our childhoods.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's part of the point that they just break it down on Raw and SmackDown matches and then just have like, and it wasn't even actually a full-fledged pay-per-view. It's always been like just there. Just like, oh, they're going to do the King of the Ring. And I think one year they try to push the app. So they're like, oh, we're going to do the finals on the app. Like,
nobody tuned in for that.
It's like, what? I think Wade Barrett won that year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the whole thing where it's like, oh, the person that becomes king has to follow the king's gimmick.
Yeah, I don't like how they do that. Like, they just have a parade around the next few weeks because then all of a sudden it's going to look even more awkward. Instead of just letting them win the King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, let them have that night, let them sit in the chair or whatever, give them the crown, then that's it. Like, it was a one and done thing. Like, if you continue to let them bring the crown and their... Zelina Vega this past year carried on the British accent for how long?
Oh my god, with the accent too? Like,
yes,
oh.
It was so bad. Whoever idea that was, but
yeah,
obvious.
You know whose idea that was.
Yeah, but then it's just even more, to me, it's even more awkward when all of a sudden, like, Zelina came back, doesn't have a British accent, doesn't have a crown, isn't calling herself the queen anymore. It's even more awkward when it just stopped randomly.
Right. And I mean, let's go into that because we have that written down anyway, so we're just going to it now. But how do you feel about that? How do you feel? I mean, obviously, she came back and it's just like, okay, just gimmick, you know. I guess, do they do that because we've gotten so used to just people getting their gimmicks wiped and that, okay, they're back. We're just going to tune our brain just
right.
Because, like, if you're going for the actual, like, kayfabe effect, like, sometimes I think, like, okay, let me pretend I'm like a child or like someone who doesn't know anything about anything. Behind the scenes.
Right.
So I'm really supposed to think like she was this queen speaking British and then now she's just with, you know, Legado del Fantasma.
Yeah.
And, you know, like how does that work?
Right.
You have to tell the story at least of what went on because like there's some people, I guess, that watch wrestling that don't kind of won't, you know.
Yes.
Is there anyone that thinks like that or is it just supposed to be a given that everyone's just supposed to know, okay, that's Zelina Vega, she's obviously not the queen anymore.
Right, you're right. You like, know? Yeah, I think that just goes back to the part where it makes it so much more awkward just because they don't even address it.
That's what it is. Yes. It's them not addressing it that just makes it like, okay.
What?
yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. See, I don't even know if I made sense saying that, but that's just it. It just boggles my brain that much.
Right.
but
and
I
mean, think wrestling fans are just used to that too. Like,
that's
just
what I mean.
Turning like, you know, like a switch, you know, oh, okay, this is what they're doing now. Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, yeah, because at the end of the day, like, it really doesn't matter. But then, like, I just think for that one, like, fan that, like, isn't in the know. It's like,
okay. And what about the younger kids too?
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I think about is the kiddos.
Yeah, not us adults that like can just understand and comprehend. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Like 10-year-old Vinny would be like, wait, what?
Exactly. You know? Yeah. But then again, I would say when I was 10, I was pretty smarting up to that point. So I would think like, yeah. It would be the ages that just like don't matter, I guess. I mean, not that they don't matter, but it's just like, you know.
The little Markies.
The little Markies, yeah. Or the old Markies.
Yeah. Or even the old Markies.
The old Markies. The people in the nursing home that's like, I thought she was British.
Oh my God. They're going to be like, what? Am I going crazy? What? Blame themselves.
Edith. You see, it is Zelina. She's not British anymore. I thought she was British. They're like, they said she was the queen.
Go to bed.
I guess her gimmick died with the queen.
Yeah. That's literally them. Man.
So, yeah. How do you feel about her replacing basically Electra Lopez in Legado del Fantasma?
I feel bad for Electra. What did they even do with her?
Right.
Is she even on NXT anymore?
She is. Maybe. I mean, she's going to get that singles push. I mean, let's face it. We still watch NXT when it's on, but I mean, you know.
We might have to watch this weekend, this week, because it's Title Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
So we keep track of titles on the line.
We keep tracking NXT, but then I work on that day, too. So it's like, you know, might not. We'll talk about it here and there, you know, moving forward. But it's just hard to actually keep up with with our schedules.
And not much ever really happens.
Exactly. That's what it is, too. And just like, you know. We have Raw, we have SmackDown, and we have Rampage and Dynamite. So that's a full plate as it is, especially with things coming up.
Yep.
Excuse me.
There's change of weather.
Yeah,
forgot
it is.
To mention that. But,
mm-hmm. But yeah, so maybe it'll work out good for Electra Lopez because, you know, I just think about the Enzo Cass Carmella situation. It's like Enzo and Cass and Carmella were all a group in NXT, and then they caught up Enzo and Cass, and you know, there's even footage of Triple H. They did it for some documentary they were doing for the network at that time, and Triple H is even telling them like, hey, you know, Mel's not gonna come with y'all, and they were like, what, like this sucks, whatever. And then look, no one would have thought that Carmella would actually still be the one with the contract and Enzo and Cass are not there, you know, regardless of, you know, whether they want to or don't want to, but just no one would have thought that,
right?
It's just crazy. So you never know how things work out. Electra Lopez could get, you know, a bigger push.
Ooh, what if they have like the storyline where Zelina goes off on her own at one point and Electra comes up to the main roster and she's like, hey, this is my group kind of type storyline.
See, that would be good.
And she takes Zelina's place, and so it's the originals.
That's
together.
How, like, oh, that's an easy way to call her up. Yeah, you got it right there.
Because Zelina's, like, used to being on her own, right? Mm-hmm. She's always been Zelina Vega. Right now, she's associated with the Phantasma.
She was in, like, some. Yeah, they, like, tagged her up with some people at some points because she didn't have nothing to do. Yeah. But, yeah, see, that would be a good call up. But then again, are we expected to know that story? You know, see, that's the thing. That's the flip side of it. That's a story we already know. Right. So you would think that would be an easy way. But, yeah, in Vince's WWE, it wouldn't happen. But may happen in Triple H's WWE. Because let's face it, Triple H likes his NXT people.
Yep.
And he's pushing his NXT people. For example, Shotzi, you know, getting a shot at Ronda Rousey.
She's got a title shot.
Yeah. 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 I forgot who was on the match. It was Shotzi. It was Lacey Evans
Raquel
this past week
Gonzalez.
On SmackDown. It was Raquel Gonzalez, Sonya Deville,
and Liv Morgan.
I was saying, I was actually going for Sonya Deville in that match because it wouldn't make sense for Sonya and Ronda to fight. But, and you were saying just, you know, typical.
I said anyone but Liv.
Route. Yeah. Yeah, if we went the typical route, it was going to be Liv, but I kind of like that mix-up of Shotzi, and that's just the main thing I've been hearing is like, oh, you know, Triple H he's going to push his NXT people, which is good, you know, because we need that.
Yeah.
You know, just talk about AEW for a second. I think, you know, AEW has had its highs and lows throughout the past few months, but one thing I noticed from watching Rampage is, you know, AEW is maybe changing its gears a little bit, no pun intended, full gear, highlight on stars that weren't in WWE, you know, at least on Rampage, right? I'm talking about in the sense like Rush, Bandido,
right?
Bandido, Ethan Page, you know, the freaking what's the faction's name with the Stogley, The Firm.
The Firm, yeah.
The Firm, yeah. So maybe, you know, WWE needs that. They need to start. This is the time. It's basically my point. This is the time where you need to build your own stars. And I think Tony Khan is finally realizing that, because the stars you do bring in are going to act like spoiled babies. We'll go into that next week. So yeah, Shotzi and Ronda Rousey. That should be interesting.
Uh-huh.
Pretty sure Ronda's going to win. But it should still be interesting. You know, at least give him a shot.
Right.
Oh yeah, that was another thing. Pentagon got a shot at Moxley's title. I was going to bring, you know, that was my point earlier from that other point. But anyway, moving on. Let's talk about some of these other returns. Oh, I'm sorry. Before that, Triple H getting rid of the 24/7 title. That's another change.
Oh, yes.
Let's face it. 24/7 title was a botched effort at bringing back the hardcore title. And back, if you watched back in the day in Attitude Era, hardcore title was awesome because that was basically the hardcore titles. You can defend it 24/7, anytime, anywhere, except like they actually did it good where people would be freaking in golf carts, getting thrown through walls, getting thrown through glass. At one point, they were fighting outside, and I forgot. I think it was Crash. I think it was Hardcore Holly and Al Snow. He literally like threw him on a chain link fence. And the chain link fence was loose, so he literally rode him in the chain link fence and pinned him. Like, just things like, it was just things like that was cool. It was like adventures.
Yeah.
24/7 title was just the title that everyone chased our truth.
Right.
You know, and it was, fun at first.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was fun at first, and I think it would have been nice if it could have been retired with our truth, but I guess when they plan to scrap it and him being injured it kind of really didn't help. But if you were going to just get rid of it that night, I think you should have just kept it on, what's her name?
Dana Brooke.
Yeah, because literally that just proves what the 24/7 title proves, because even Nikki Cross botched the retirement. Like,
that title was so bad, not even the trash wanted it. But that's something she can, you know, she's the last 24/7 champion.
Right, you know, so she 10 can 10 minutes, and then she threw it out.
Yeah, she can. She's technically, she technically can live with that moniker, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm the last 24/7 champion. It's something to put on your resume.
She's taking it out.
I had something else to say with that, but it just totally went past me.
Totally flew away.
Directing changes, like especially before Dexter Loomis came back, I do like the little, like the things happening in the background of like interviews and things like that. You can tell like Triple H has this like, because there's like, I don't know, it kind of feels like hints of Attitude Era on that too, especially thinking about like when the whole like who attacked Shawn Michaels thing happened back in the day, and they're like trying to figure it out with like camera angles, and it ended up being Triple H. Like, kind of gave me that kind of vibe, so I kind of like those directing changes. So that's pretty cool. Sarah Logan is the most recent return that Triple H brought back. She got a little bit of heat on her, but we're not going to go too much into that.
Nah,
she got a little,
it's not that important,
gimmick infringing heat, but so he's brought by people like Sarah Logan, with the Viking Raiders. Mia Yim is back after a short run in Impact. She's back with the OC.
Which I think she really fits.
Yeah.
I think she really fits with them. She, you know, she, what the sort of charisma and look that they give off, she gives off the exact same vibes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was getting confused in my brain. You're talking about Mia Yim with the OC.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about Sarah Logan with the Viking Raiders.
That too.
Exactly. That too. When I was brought up LA Knight earlier, like given that, you know, gimmick change right back, Elias, another one. When Triple H took over, it's like, yeah, get this Ezekiel out here. We're going to bring you right back to Elias.
Yeah.
So the Elias, technically Elias returned. He's been gone
this
whole
time. They just gave him some time to grow his beard out.
Yeah.
We all
exactly.
know.
You know, of course, when we talked about Shotzi and Ronda earlier, that's bringing up War Games.
Yeah.
Survivor Series War Games. Of course, War Games has been in NXT for the past few years, but to actually bring War Games to the main roster, which I think Vince was always hesitant to do because he didn't invent War Games.
Right.
Yeah.
How petty.
That's a big, like, it's real. Like, Triple H really took over in that sense. Unless Vince is that, you know, trying to fly under the radar that he's really making an appeal to. That he didn't, but no, it seems like, you know,
it's funny too, because like you said, it's always been in NXT before, but then AEW doesn't call it war. What do they call it? Is it War Games?
Blood and Guts.
Yeah. Okay, but they have
it's
past
the same thing, but it has
Blood
they
and
have
Guts.
The top on it.
Right.
I think technically the original War Games, I may be wrong because this is way before my time.
Yeah.
But I think the original War Games did have a top on it. Oh. So technically WWE is doing like an alternate version, but I may be wrong.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure I saw the old War Games match with young Paul Heyman with on his team was a young Steve Austin, and it had a roof on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a cage, right?
It was a cage. Okay, yeah, basically it like a walls, Hell in a Cell, but
right,
it's closed in. It's not, there's no outside.
Yeah. So basically what I was just going to say is that, yeah, it's always been in NXT, but AEW had it recently. So now I guess WWE is thinking like, oh yeah, we need to bring this to the.
Yeah, but that's my point. WWE's version has no roof. AEW's version does have a roof.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I understand what you're saying there. Yeah. So we'll see. I bet it'll still look badass.
Yeah. No. Oh yeah. Nonetheless, it'll still be awesome. But yeah, I mean, and I just had a brain fart earlier or a second ago because I was just thinking of that. It's just crazy how Vince, you know, I've seen it out there, and it just makes me laugh every time that Vince has paid more money for vagina hush money than he did for WCW.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's funny. You just said that the other day.
A testament to the villain of Vince McMahon. Bray Wyatt, the most epic return that Triple H has brought back, I guess you can say. How do you feel about that?
I feel really good. I feel like I'm curious to see where this is going to go. They're definitely playing it out to where, like, you know, they've already introduced people like Uncle Howdy. And, like, you know that, you know, he has this faction that he's trying to build. I like how they'd be doing, like, random interviews in the back. And all of a sudden, like, the TV will start kind of, like, glitching with his, you know, like his with video.
Alexa Bliss.
Right. Yeah, with Alexa Bliss, she got, like, yes, she got distracted by it. So I'm curious if they'll bring Alexa Bliss back with him.
And do you think Uncle Howdy is Bray Wyatt? Or do you think it's Bo Dallas? Like everyone's saying it's Bo Dallas.
I think it's Bo Dallas. That's what I'm feeling.
Well, see, that's because, of course, this past, you know, SmackDown, we saw that he may be starting a feud with LA Knight.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the biggest, like, mystery, too, besides Uncle Howdy to me, is, like, how is he going to wrestle? Because when he wrestled before, he was Bray Wyatt, and then when he wrestled, you know, recently, he was The Fiend. He never wrestled in his, you know,
right,
Mr. Rogers sweater, which he kind of... Like, I'm just confused. Like, how is this going to play out?
I'm curious how his first match will go.
Exactly. And that's, like, the beauty of it, too. It's like I'm so confused that it's, like, pretty exciting.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we have to see it play out. But so far, this is the second most exciting thing that's going on. The first, of course, is this Bloodline. Like, the Bloodline is pretty much on top of WWE right now, especially with Sami Zayn. It's just... The hilarious, like, this is what WWE is supposed to be. It's supposed to be, like, badass, but also hilarious at the and crazy and weird at the same time, but also cool and badass and, like, awesome.
Yes.
But, like, you know, it's what else can you say is cool, badass, and awesome, but also hilarious, crazy, and weird? Like, you know what I mean? This is what wrestling is, people.
Yeah.
To switch from one thing to another. I mean, do we have anything more to say about Bray Wyatt? Because, like I said, we just have to see. Yeah, we have to. And Survivor Series, I think, is going to be the main point. So, next week we're going to talk about AEW Full Gear and review AEW, what's been going on. And then the week after, we'll be back to break down the Bray Wyatt bit. But, yeah, the Bloodline, how do you feel about this going on?
I feel like it's like... Like how you going back to what you said about Sami Zayn. Like, I think they're doing good by bringing Sami Zayn in. I wonder at what point will he fizzle, because I feel like he just continues to get more over. Like, even this past Friday, like, you had the Usos are now the longest reigning tag team after champions. After beating
the New Day.
Yes, after beating the New Day. And then so you see that Roman came out. They had their special moment, which kind of turned out to be like their intro for what they're planning for War Games with them. And the Brawling Brutes, right? Fight Night, I guess.
Yeah, so is that what you think the next Roman...
And Sheamus?
Because coming, you know, first let's go off on a tangent real quick and just talk real quick about the Logan Paul-Roman match at Crown Jewel. Really good match. I mean, I don't know why people are still hate on Logan Paul. I mean, I don't really see that much hate anymore, but if there still is, it's like Logan Paul... Yeah, he bust his ass in that match, and it was a great match.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, we knew he wasn't going to win. Like, let's face it.
Logan Paul is good enough.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like, I don't want to get – it wasn't a five-star match. It's just good for him being Logan Paul. You know, if it was any other wrestler, you'd be like, oh, that was a decent match. You know what I mean? Like, that's how some wrestling fans are. But I thought it was a good match. You know, the buckshot, the doing a better buckshot than Hangman. No, he would kind of over flopped a little bit. Hangman still does a better buckshot. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
The frog splash spot, him tearing up his knee. Apparently his meniscus, his ACL, his MCL.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was a good match. But, of course, we knew Roman was going to win. So, coming out of that, that's what was the big question is, like, what was Roman's next feud? What was the Usos' next feud, especially after beating the New Day?
Right.
They should have made that New Day match a bigger match, but they didn't.
They didn't, but they, I liked how it lasted long, and it was good.
Yeah.
It was a really good match.
And I just, like, because, yeah, right before a commercial break, they were like, who's going to be the longest reigning? Like, that's a big
deal.
That's a big deal. It's you should at least deal. Made that a freaking, who'd they The Usos fought the Brawling Brutes at Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
They could have put the New Day. They could have brought the Brawling Brutes on SmackDown.
Yeah.
They could have put the New Day and the Usos on Crown Jewel for the longest reigning, not only for the tag team titles, for who's the longest reigning tag team
that
champions.
That is a big deal. Yeah. And they just put it on a random SmackDown.
Drop the ball there, man. You know? So, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I was going a little crazy there, but do you think War Games is next for them?
I think that's where it's going, yeah. Especially, like I was saying, with this special moment where you had the Brawling Brutes, Sheamus come out, and you thought Sheamus was going to be gone. I was like, hey, no, he's got to be here. Who's going to take on Roman? And, yeah, sure enough, he was there. And so, yeah, I think definitely that is the way that they're going.
So, on one side, you have Sheamus, Brawling Brutes, Drew came out.
Drew came out to help.
And then who else? New Day? Did New Day come out at the end?
No.
It was just some four.
Yeah.
And who else?
That was it. They're still missing a fifth.
So then you have Roman.
The Usos, Solo Sikoa, and Sammy.
Unless they don't do Sammy.
Yeah.
Because who else would be that fifth? Somebody else.
I don't know. But Sammy's Sammy Uso now.
Unless he can just be on the outside cheering him on.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah. 4-on-4.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking somehow Karrion Kross was going to be involved, unless he teams up with Drew McIntyre's team. Like, eh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that.
Yeah, no.
They had too long of a feud to just be cool now.
Yeah, and I don't see Karrion Kross teaming up with Roman. So what happens with Karrion Kross now? He just lost in the shuffle?
Yeah.
They'll
probably find something for him.
Yeah. I definitely think, like you were saying earlier, when the Sammy thing is going to fizzle out, I would definitely think by WrestleMania. Because I really like the idea of Sami Zayn getting kicked out of the bloodline. Kevin Owens is best friend there to pick him up. And you have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos for the tag team titles at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'll be cool.
Yeah, sure.
You know, just speaking of the bloodline and, like, you know, Bray Wyatt with trying to start his faction, the White Six, which we still are kind of up in the air with. Like, this is I like this, too. And I think this is something, you know, something good that they not picked up from AEW, not copied from AEW, but I think got reminded by AEW that factions are a good thing. Because let's face it, like, there was people in the Attitude Era that loved WWE for the stars. They loved it for the Rocks. They loved it for the Stone Cold. But then there was very much a lot of people, myself included, that loved it for the tag teams.
Yeah.
For the Hardys, for the Christians, for the Dudley Boys,
NWO.
You know. And then, boom, the factions. Like, what's bigger than a tag team being that it has not only it like involves a tag team, but also involves stars,
right?
Is factions. Like the biggest time in wrestling is when you had the biggest faction in WWE, DX. And then the bit on the other channel, you had the biggest faction in WCW, which was NWO. That was the biggest time in wrestling. So I think this is a good reminder, you know, in Triple H being involved in, you know, one of those, you know, biggest factions of all time.
Yeah.
I think it's a good reminder that factions are a thing that people love and people could get behind, because it's just like wrestling itself. Like wrestling itself, you can find, no matter what you're into, you can find something that you like about a Raw, about a SmackDown, whether it's a dark segment, whether it's a comedy segment, whether it's just like, whoa, that was crazy segment, whether it's just like, oh my god, that was ridiculous, but it was still a knee slapper segment.
Yep.
I feel like factions are, you can find, if you're not into one particular wrestler, but then that wrestler goes into a faction that you like this other wrestler with, you're going to automatically like it all. You know what I mean?
That's
very true. Like a good way to get to push people and to get people over.
Yeah.
So, I bring all the factions on. I want to see factions WWE. I want to see factions AEW. Yeah. Bring it on.
Yeah.
World Cup tournament. Kind of interesting, you know, they trying to do some interesting different things, I guess, involving the World Cup, because I think they didn't do it on Raw. So this is just a Fox thing. I think this is just a Fox partnership.
Yeah, the World Cup on Fox is what they kept saying.
Yeah, so of course, so we'll see how that plays out. Braun Strowman won advance last week. Braun Strowman's got some heat for his tweets, as always. He's always, I'm sorry, but even before he returned, I told you he's always been a douchebag on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't like, you know, not that I don't like people like that. It's just you can, it's cringy. You know, people it that is. Have that, you know, I guess insecure, you know, like, you know, when he would be, you know, do working out videos and people comment like about his form, just a little thing. He'd be like, oh, what do you know? You're a puny human. It's like, what? Are, people are still like that on social media. Like, come on.
Yeah. He hides behind the screen.
Yeah. Santos Escobar advances. So, yeah, we'll just have to see what goes on. Is that I wonder if that's going to conclude at Survivor Series, probably.
It might, because we have two more matches next week, Butch and Sami Zayn, and then I can't remember the other one.
We'll see, and then that's a good point to circle back to the King of the Ring, because I think we ended up going off on something else. This is I don't know, we didn't say it on earlier, but I told you before we recorded, this is going to be, because we have so much to catch up on, this is going to be a random episode. We're just going to jump around. But circling back to the King of the Ring, that's the good thing about King of the Ring, that's going to make that important again, is they're going to do all the matches and crown the King of the Ring or Queen of the Ring, excuse me, in one night.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to make it important, is the fact that, like, you know, some wrestlers are going to have two or three matches, which is awesome. It makes it like a real tournament feel versus, you know, like, oh, you're just going to do it on Raw, then we're going to have another match on SmackDown. Anyway.
Yeah.
What else we got? Austin Theory, Money in the Bank cash in flop.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
This is the cringiest of them all.
Yeah. So, not only did
moment
he...
of silence for Austin.
He cashed in on an open challenge for a mid-card title against somebody who was notorious for cashing in at the main event of WrestleMania for the WWE title. What?
He cashed in for a title that he's already carried. He couldn't...
Like I told you, it was cool when it started to see it as like, okay, I get it. Like, we've had, you know, there's got to be those people that are the examples with the Money in the Bank contract. You know, the people that, you know, that lost it in a match, you know. So it's like, oh, okay, that's a thing. You can actually win the Money in the Bank and then put it on the line in the match and then lose it.
Right.
And then it was for a while that everyone that won the Money in the Bank cashed in and won. Then there was RVD, who's... was the person first person to be like, I'm not going to cash in randomly. I'm giving it away now so I can cash it in for a match at the title. Like, they set up a match, you know, or for a match at the title, for a match for the title at the pay-per-view, you know, with John Cena, you know, Extreme Rule or One Night Stand. He set it up in advance. Okay, that can happen now. Then there was those people that cashed in and lost. It's like, whoa, that can really happen. You can really cash in and lose. And I think Austin Theory was the exception, you know, or the example where, like, okay, you can cash in for any title, you know, up until now, it's just been for the WWE, but at least win the match.
Yeah, I was not expecting that at all. And I feel like this is triple, because Austin Theory was like Vince McMahon's like prized possession is what he made it seem like. I feel like this was Triple H's way of like being like, I'm in charge now. See what I can do while you're, when you're not here. I make the rules now.
Yeah.
And I I don't think he likes Austin Theory.
Speaking of example, do you really think that's what it is?
Yes.
But Austin, I don't think, what's the reason not to like him? Like, I know he plays a heel, but like, as far as I've seen, like, behind the scenes stuff, he's
yeah.
a normal dude.
He seems pretty cool.
Like, I follow him on TikTok.
As a person, but I maybe just like, as a wrestler, like, maybe just Triple H just doesn't see it right now. Now, I hope they don't take it an extra step and take him back to NXT
or just teaching
like
him a lesson, like, hey, this is, you know.
Right, yeah. Or maybe.
You gotta do the job.
Who knows?
You got an easy ride up to this point.
We're being so negative about this, but for all we know, they could have, like, something up their sleeve. Else planned for him. Just, this was just really bad.
Could be a test, see if he's a good sport. Because, I mean, he went out there and he did the job.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
he took
his pin.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We got to say we'll see, because literally wrestling is just so unpredictable. Like, you never know which way it could go, especially now. I failed to mention that in the beginning when you asked me about Triple H's takeover. But I feel like right now, like, Vince's route was predictable. Like, you could tell, oh yeah, he's going to do this, because so there's no way he's going to do this or this way, right? There's, let's just say there's three ways to go. With Triple H, it could go any of the three.
Because like, like I mentioned before we would say, oh, it could go this way, it could go this way, but we know it's going to go this way. Yes. Now you're right. Wow. Uh-huh. So speaking of like what we'll have to wait and see. Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, are they going to keep that feud going? Or I hope it wasn't just a one-off for Crown Jewel. And if it was, that was a terrible way to end it.
It was a really quick match.
Exactly. And usually it was a dusty finish. Usually a dusty finish supposed to prolong a feud. But Brock is probably taking a break with his Saudi Arabia check. And so I guess I'm hoping for a Brock-Bobby Lashley match at Mania.
Uh-huh.
Because they can, it's just around the corner.
Right.
This is the time to start planning for it. And maybe that's why they held off Dominic and Rey, too, putting Rey on SmackDown. I'm hoping for, you think Rey and Dominic's going to happen this year at Mania, too?
At Mania, that would be,
Because, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know where the Judgment Day is heading either.
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to feud with the OC for now, but. Yeah, that's got to fizzle out by Mania, too.
Right, yeah. And then...
set up Dominic and Rey in Royal Rumble. Perfect.
Yep.
Have one of them eliminate the other.
Yes.
Set it up. Royal Rumble's the perfect, the easiest spot to set up feuds.
Because this whole thing has been that Rey moved to SmackDown because, I can't stand to see my son this way. And I'm not, my son wants me to hit him. My son wants me to hurt him. I'm not going to do that. But in Royal Rumble, when he has that chance, he's going to be forced to put his hands on him. And dump him over the ring.
Yeah, number one slogan of the Royal Rumble is every man for himself.
Yeah, literally. You're not friends in the ring at the Rumble.
Yeah, and then same thing with this Miz, Johnny Gargano, Dexter Lumis feud. See how that plays out. But how do you feel about this feud?
I feel like, I don't know. This is like a feud that I can't really like. Dexter Lumis apparently isn't even signed to WWE.
He is.
Yeah, but
I mean, in kayfabe, he isn't.
Okay, that's what it is. Yeah. So they're doing this whole thing right now where the Miz apparently like was supposed to be paying Dexter Lumis, and that's why Dexter is acting this way, because he's not paying him. But in a world, how does the Miz not have money to pay somebody?
Yeah, so it's like, in the kayfabe way, it makes no sense. It makes more. Yeah.
I feel like they could be doing a better storyline, but they're doing it kind of boring right now.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's what I think about.
All right. Moving on. Damage Control, and their whole feud with the tag titles and Bianca Belair, because this is far from over. I literally put that in parentheses, far from over.
Every time I think that Bianca and Bailey are done, this is already going on their fourth match,
It's getting so. This is getting Cena, Randy Orton levels.
Because because they're going to be doing a War Games thing. So, of course, they're going to be at each other's throats once again. But it's like, I thought Saudi Arabia could have been it. Saudi Arabia.
And I think that's the thing, too, with War Games. It's a good. Survivor Series itself was a pay per view, a good pay per view setup where, like, it kind of gives you a bye week or bye month from having to have actual title matches, because then you can just put the people in a tag team, War Games match, whatever.
Yes, exactly.
So you think that's going to happen with them too? Because, there has to be a women's War Games match.
Uh-huh. But I think...
So you have Damage Control, which is Bayley.
Yeah.
Which is three, so they'll probably add a fourth, right?
I think they're going to add... Nikki Cross.
Nikki Cross. And then you have Bianca, Asuka...
Alexa. And I think they're going to bring in Candice LeRae.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Interesting.
They're going to bring in Candice LeRae on her. I would bet that next week Candice LeRae's back, because she's been gone a couple weeks, I think.
What about, where's Sasha Banks?
Banks and Naomi?
And where's Charlotte? Sasha Banks is the
first. They're holding back on these big names.
Well, Sasha Banks is pretty much the last name that Triple H, the last big name Triple H has to bring back.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about CM Punk, but that's a whole freaking mess. Talk about next time.
Yeah.
But so could it be?
I don't know. I don't know what they're waiting for on Charlotte. In there? Emma, yeah, but Emma starting her storyline with
Madcap.
With Madcap, she's like, Shotzi's like, I saw you giving him eyes or whatever she said.
It's like, we're actually together.
They're actually together in real life.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
Name of the episode is we'll see. That's why with these Jobber Circle Wrestling podcasts, we like to just we like to what was that?
Saudi Arabia.
We like to review pay-per-views and rate pay-per-views, which we will. Good thing we got two pay-per-views coming up in the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
What were you saying?
Just pointing back on the Charlotte thing. Like, I really, where is she? We want to know.
No.
We want her back.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that was a good way to end it there because I didn't really want to end it with talking about Baron Corbin and with JBL.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make a point on that, that, I don't know.
I have nothing to say.
Yeah, I was going to go on a spill, but I don't even want to at this point. It's just like, man, he had such a badass gimmick in the beginning in NXT. And just like, how is it that your gimmick just gets worse and worse and worse and worse? I appreciate it. I really do. But just like, I feel bad.
Right now, I'm missing Happy Corbin, and I didn't even like Happy Corbin.
Exactly, right? It's like, why, like, every new gimmick, you miss the old one even more? That it was terrible.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Matt Riddle, just because Randy Orton's gone doesn't mean you put him on the shelf? Like, what are they doing with Matt Riddle?
I know. They're trying to do the thing with, like, Elias, like, where he, like, wants to be his best friend or something.
Oh, but... well, okay. I don't mean to complain either. Like, I mean, obviously, it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
It's gotten a lot better. And it's like this, I don't mean to compare, but it's like this wave. It's like, how was it a year ago? We were just so into AEW and WWE we were always into WWE. I'm never, you know, I don't want to be one of those guys that, oh, that one's better than that one.
Yeah.
You know, but it's kind of crazy how this wave has changed to where it's like looking more forward to Survivor Series.
Yes. War Games. And
then Full Gear, you told me it was this weekend. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's not upon us. But one more thing I was going to add is because this is how I see it. When Vince was in charge, there was a lot of jobberness. There was a lot of letdowns, right? Stuff that I wish could happen and never did. I didn't really care if I missed a Raw or I missed a SmackDown. And now I am like at the point where with Triple H running things, I'm worried if I miss a SmackDown or a Raw that I'm gonna miss something.
Right, exactly. And it's just that feeling.
Yeah.
Alone too, that's good. Like that hopefulness.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So yeah, that's that for now.
All right. Well yeah, that's pretty good. And Triple H, if you really want to make change, bring back Katie Vick.